This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME. And this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, September 25th, 2020. Military Auxiliary Radio System, or MARS, volunteers will take part in the Department of Defense Communications Exercise 20-4, starting on October 3rd and concluding on October 26th. The MARS focus is interoperability with ARRL and the amateur radio community. Army MARS Chief Paul English, WDADBY, said MARS members will interoperate throughout October with various amateur radio organizations that will be conducting their annual simulated emergency tests with state, county, and local emergency management personnel. MARS members will send a DOD-approved message to the amateur radio organizations recognizing this cooperative interoperability effort. MARS members will also train with the ARRL National Traffic System and Radio Relay International to send ICS 213 general messages to numerous amateur radio leaders across the U.S. English said the exercise will culminate with MARS members sending a number of summary messages in support of a larger DOD communications exercise that takes place October 20th through the 26th. During October, MARS stations will operate on 60 meters, and WWV and WWVH will broadcast messages to the amateur radio community. English assures no disruption to communications throughout the month-long series of training events. AMSAT Oscar 7, AO7, the oldest amateur radio satellite still in operation, has returned to full solar illumination and will be operational again. AO7 only works when it's receiving direct sunlight, and it shuts down when it goes into eclipse. Full illumination by the sun should continue until around December 26th. AMSAT Vice President of Operations Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, says that during this period, AO7 likely will switch between modes A, 2 meters up and 10 meters down, and B, 70 centimeters up and 2 meters down, every 24 hours. Glassbrenner reminded users to use only the minimum necessary power and to avoid ditting to find their signals in the passband. He said that can bounce the entire passband up and down and sometimes even causes the transponder to reset to mode A. Last May, the nearly 46-year-old AO7 made possible a contact between Argentina and South Africa, a distance of more than 4,300 miles. Both stations were aiming at just 2 to 3 degrees above the horizon. Launched in 1974, AO7 surprised the amateur radio community by suddenly coming back to life in 2002 after being dormant for nearly 30 years and only periodically re-emerging. AMSAT considers AO7 semi-operational. Theory is that AO7 initially went dark after several years of operation when a battery shorted, and it returned to operation when the short circuit opened. With no working batteries now, AO7 only functions when it's receiving direct sunlight, and it shuts down when it's in the dark. Late on the afternoon of September 16th, the police department in Little Post Falls, Idaho, received a 911 call that two juveniles ages 9 and 11 were missing for about an hour. According to the report, the pair had left home intending to play in the neighborhood with some family radio service, or FRS radios. Police were dispatched to the area to conduct a visual search, and Detective Neil Urig, K7NJU, responded as officer in charge due to his training and experience with missing persons investigations. The initial search focused on a 2-mile radius from the missing kid's residence. One officer received information from witnesses that the pair was probably using FRS Channel 1. An officer returned to police headquarters to retrieve some FRS radios for a distribution to the patrol officers in the event they might be able to hear the youngsters talking. Checking into the Northwest Traffic Net, Urich explained the situation to Net Control and asked if Net participants in the Post Falls area with FRS capability could listen for the youngsters talking. It was assumed that only stations located near the missing youngsters would hear them, given the limited range of FRS radios. Not long after 7 p.m., Jim Hager, KJ7OTD, reported hearing children talking on FRS Channel 1. Patrol units were redirected to the new search vicinity. A short time later, the missing pair was found safe and returned home. Urich said the most remarkable thing about the incident was that the missing youngsters turned out to be some distance from the original search area and in the opposite direction from where they were thought to have been headed. Here's the AMSAT report from Bruce Page, KK5DO. AMSAT completed its election process for the year. Elected to the board for 2 years were three incumbents, Mark Hammond, N8MH, Paul Stetzer, N8HM, and Bruce Page, KK5DO. The first alternate is Howie DeFelice, AB2S. The second alternate is Bob McGuire, N4HY. Alternates serve for a year. A total of 1,231 ballots were cast. Thanks for that information to Brennan Price, N4QX, AMSAT Secretary. If you're a grid chaser, URI, UT1FG stroke Maritime Mobile, is back on the Goldeneye and is sailing from Columbia to Jacksonville, Florida. This is your opportunity to work him for some wet grids. If you do work URI, you can request your QSLs by following the procedure at paapays.com/sat. If you worked somebody successfully on PO101, you can request a QSL card from the command team as a token of appreciation for using the satellite. Visit twitter.com/diwata2ph for more information. I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME, and this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, September 25th, 2020. The Chinese foghorn over the horizon radar is once again showing up in the logs of the International Amateur Radio Union Monitoring Service in IARU Region 1. That's Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. While the reports reflect what's being heard by stations primarily in Europe, the same interference can and does affect other parts of the world, often depending upon the time of day. So named by former Monitoring Service Region 1 Coordinator Wolf Hedel, DK2OM, because of its sound, the foghorn was first reported operating in the amateur bands in 2017. Current Region 1 Monitoring System Coordinator Peter Jost, HB9CET, said significantly more OTH radars from the Far East were found during August, especially the system known as Foghorn. Jost noted that the foghorn facilities generate a signal with a bandwidth of 10 kHz. The foghorn was being heard on 40 meters in the vicinity of 7113 to 7123 and 7165 to 7175 kHz. Other over-the-horizon radar signals, tracked to or believed to be in China, are showing up elsewhere on the band with equally broad signals. Some international broadcasters also have set up shop in the amateur bands, including Voice of Broad Masses 1 on 7140 and Voice of Broad Masses 2 on 7180, both with 9 kHz wide AM signals. China Radio International has been transmitting at the very bottom edge of 20 meters, its signal slopping over into the amateur band. A radio war between Russia and Ukraine has generated signals on 40 meters, Russia on 7055 and Ukraine on 7060, airing what the monitor called very loud and persistent signals every day with, as he put it, plenty of abuse, propaganda, profanities, and agitation being passed back and forth. ARRL President Rick Roderick, K5UR, has appointed Phil Temples, K9HI of Watertown, Massachusetts, as New England Division Vice Director. He succeeds Mike Raisbeck, K1TWF, who was elected earlier this year as ARRL First Vice President. President Roderick made the appointment after consulting with New England Division Director Fred Hopengarten, K1VR, and the region's section managers. An ARRL Life member, Temples has been licensed for 50 years. He's written articles for QST and contributed articles for the ARRL website. Temples served three terms as Eastern Massachusetts section manager. He's been active in MARS, the National Traffic System, and as an emergency coordinator, and he enjoys CW. Temples holds a degree in electrical engineering from Purdue University. He has actively promoted instruction and licensing and is a volunteer examiner. Temples is employed at Boston College as a computer systems administrator. Jim Brown, K9YC, reports that the Northern California Contest Club has been holding its meetings using the Zoom platform since March, like a lot of other clubs, due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Brown says response has been overwhelmingly positive. He points out that the NCCC's membership circle includes members as far north as Humboldt County, and as far east as northern Nevada, as far southwest as Santa Cruz County, and as far southeast as the Sierra, as well as the San Francisco Bay Area. Over the years, he said, traffic had increased driving time to meetings even within the Bay Area, so that meetings rarely drew more than about 40 members. Zoom meetings are regularly drawing 75 to 85 members, Brown said. An informal chat session starts 30 minutes ahead of the formal meeting, and 20 to 30 members often stay around for up to 2 hours after the meeting is adjourned. As we reported last week, Brown was named the 2019 recipient of the ARRL Technical Service Award.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.